About ready? Okay, go.
Morning, and thank you for your patience as we shuffle the chairs on the deck here. This is calling to order the Thursday, May 21st, 2026 Zone 3 Advisory Committee. And we'll get the meeting going with a roll call.
Member at large, Ron Riley. And City of Rio Grande. Not here. City of Grover Beach.
Present.
City of Pismo Beach.
Here.
Oceano CSD. It's not here. CSA 12.
Present.
And then AG at large.
Yeah, I'm here.
And we have a quorum.
Great, thanks for that. Okay, we'll start with an opportunity for public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address the committee on items that are not on the agenda. As a reminder, we can't take any action on items not on the agenda.
Well, hello, is this on?
Who are you?
Is the microphone on?
Oh, it okay. It is.
Hello, I am Shane Taylor, Utilities Manager for the City of Rio Grande. I'm coming to the end of my career. My last day is May 29th, so this is my last board meeting. And I thought I want to introduce my replacement, Haley Hicks. She'll be the new Utilities Manager for the city. She's been shadowing me for the last few weeks. The city's given us enough time to try and during a turnover, but I wanted to introduce you to her to the board, and I wanted to thank the board for all the support you've given me and the city all my years, especially Brad, Ron, and previous board members, Vard, Brian, Jim Gehring, of course, my goodness. Too many names to mention, but it's been fun, and I'm very proud of what we've done in my career here. I think we have a great relationship with the county and the flood control district, working together to bring safe, reliable water to the cities and agencies, all the contract agencies, and it's been fun. And it's really all I got to say, but give Haley the support you gave me. I'm very impressed with her so far. She's going to be really good. So thank you.
Thank you for all your service, Shane. Really appreciate it. Please don't go too far away. We need you to be at a phone call away as all, please.
Yeah, that's true.
But
he said, yes, you need me.
Yeah. But congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes. And welcome, Haley.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, with that, we've got meeting minutes from March 19th, 2026. If everyone has reviewed, if there's any comment, I'll take that now. And seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve the meeting minutes from March 19th.
Second.
Do we need roll call on this?
I think a vocal vote is fine.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, Kate. Good morning.
From the cheap seats.
Oh. The seat's warm. I was just over there.
I think it's strategic. The camera doesn't appear to get all the way over there.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah. Okay. Good deal. So we'll get into the operations report.
All right, Courtney Howard from County Public Works. Our plant flow is at 3 million gallons a day. Our state water flow is at 1.9 million gallons a day. Downstream release, I'm not sure why it's or, but it's either at 2.3 million gallons a day or 3.5. Oh, sorry, it's the, now I know. Another way to say it is 3.5 CFS, cubic feet per second. So. Just the different metrics. The lake elevation is at 5.515 feet. The storage is at 42,869 acre feet, which is an 86.6% capacity. And our total rainfall to date is 23.89 inches. In your packet, attachment two, you'll find the projected reservoir levels with an average, rainfall projected for this coming season. Not a lot of rainfall, so it just reflects the continued use of the participants. The other report is the operations report, if you have any questions on that. And then we have our project updates. A lot of ongoing work from last time, the spillway assessment and investigation. The consultants responding to the county's comments. We've submitted geotechnical data to the Department of Safety of Dams. The remainder of the project is about $300,000. There's no change with the geotechnical testing and seismic study. DSOD also requested an analysis, and we're getting quotes for that. We anticipate it's about $200,000. With the cathodic protection repair project, we're performing that testing of new and existing test stations, working on the monitoring station plans for the DWR state water line crossing. The system's working well, and the remaining budget for that is $20,000. The fire flow tank replacement's on hold, looking for grant opportunities. Urban Water Management Plan, Wallace Group's working on revisions to Public Works' comments, and the budget's around $60,000 for that. And they completed the membrane module replacement.
Okay, thank you for that. Any comment or question? Go ahead, Marcia.
So, on the rainfall prediction, I went down an El Nino rabbit hole. No, really, you can, because there are dozens of meteorologists that are on YouTube or whatever, and they're predicting this big warming and it's happening and all that. They have the whole state, then they have the top half and the bottom half separated, with the top either getting the rain or it's all over the place. Is there any source? If people have asked me, where do you go to get your information? It's like, it's a dartboard almost. So is there a place where the prediction of how El Nino is going to truly hit, has that been established? Or is there a place people could go to get more information? Because it's what we're hearing about in the news and things, so people are asking.
Yeah. Yeah, our Office of Emergency Services lead regularly reports out and participates in the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration's NOAA's reporting. As we get closer to the fall, we'll probably get more and more information. I was kind of, that's something I noticed as well in terms of, maybe working with the team on different scenarios, as we learn more from those meetings from NOAA. Maybe we can look at different rainfall scenarios based on what those are saying.
So it's a dartboard until we get closer.
Yes, very much. Yeah, because strong El Ninos have varied in the past. So I think that's why it's a little tricky.
Also, the release rates that this factors in, are these considering where we are in litigation, where we might end up? Is that variable something that could be reflected on here as well, or is it even too nebulous?
It is. Right now, we are using the interim downstream release program. I bet I can talk to the team about whether there's other alternatives to model as we go forward.
Yeah, because it just feels like we're not quite certain what we'll be releasing. Yeah. So is this like worst case scenario, best case scenario, I guess is what I'm actually asking, this release rate that's modeled here?
I think it's more of an average scenario with the rainfall and then the interim downstream release program.
Okay, thanks. Can I make a comment about the downstream release?
Please do.
I was going to ask about the same thing, because I think that number is historically low for May, especially for June. So it'd be interesting to look back on the what we've released in previous years. Because I farm all the way up and down Array Grande, all the way into Oceano. And for the first time in a while, the creek went dry for a short period of time at Chiquetti Road. And I just drove here to Oceano 22nd Street Bridge, and it's just a trickle of water going through there. The water, the Array Grande Creek, it hasn't been done to it because of all the releases that we were doing recently because of the litigation. The thing's been flowing. But historically, Array Grande Creek will go, and then it'll go dry in some spots, and then it'll flow again. So the water somehow goes under ground and pops up again. We haven't seen that for a while, but it is interesting that the Chiquetti was almost dry this week a couple times.
Okay.
So you might want to pass that along to.
Yeah. Yeah, we can see if we can have a historical report on releases.
Need a report or something, but David Spiegel, I guess he'd be the one to ask.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
We can look at that.
Thank you.
A follow-up on that, Var, do you notice the levels in your wells, in the agricultural wells along there? Significant changes in terms of water levels in the creek?
Normally only during the drought years.
When we have 14, 15, and maybe 17 or so.
Or back-to-back years.
Yeah.
But right now, no, because this is just happening now.
Yeah.
So it's not that instantaneous, but either way, it takes
right.
a while.
Yeah, wouldn't think so.
And it's... The further you are away from Array Grande Creek, the faster it happens. So that makes sense.
the further away you are?
The further you are away from Array Grande Creek, the impact is greater on even a small drought.
Oh, I see.
Because they don't have the recharge
like
you do in the valley.
In the valley, gotcha. That makes sense. And maybe just a couple thoughts on the El Nino stuff. It's been, what was that another thing posted? The biggest El Nino ever, right? Some posted. And our local guy, I was thinking John Lindsay, who's still around and posts a lot of stuff. And I'm on his, not his Facebook page, but I get some of his things. And he talks about the statistics. And in El Nino year, statistically, it is, we have higher rainfalls. Especially in Southern California than in Northern California, which I think is why they separate those. But it's not a sure thing, which would go back to maybe Vard's thoughts of, well, if we knew we were gonna be, topping off the dam this winter, which I would say I would take the over on that bet if they got a line in Vegas on whether we'll spill. But then we would maybe release more and try to bulk up the groundwater basin. But if it discharges just directly to the ocean, then maybe that's not doing what we're looking for in terms of the ag. But the fish people would probably love it. So I mean, it's kind of an interesting, and that ties into the litigation things, which is a hot potato, obviously. So, but interesting thoughts. And again, we have so much monitoring data out there now in terms of the El Nino events. So.
Well, the last time we had one, it missed us. It was up
it
above
was,
us.
Yeah.
I think it was 2012 through 2016. I think that's when we had the significant rain to kind of, and then 18 we had another rain.
Yeah.
So I guess it just depends on how the stars align. Mine might not on.
The billions of viewers at home wanted to hear that. So. Okay, and then Brad just opened up a prediction market on the whether we're going to go over the top or not. So, I appreciate that. I would say, and welcome today, Courtney Howard, the Deputy Public Works Director for the county. Right?
Is that
correct?
Thank you.
It's good to have you here today, and I know there's going to be questions and things that normally David Spiegel would be here to answer, and I think that this rainfall projection probably is based on the injunction releases, and I think I'll get with David before the next meeting, and it would be nice to have a second page that maybe shows us what it would be if we were doing pre-injunction releases as well. So, just for our information. Any other questions on operations?
Did we request a historical report on releases? And I think she can take that back to David. We can request it, because I would like to see that too, wondering why the difference. Is it drier out? Is the same release, but it's just not making it down? I don't know, but I would like to see that if it's available. I'm assuming it is.
Yeah, I believe it is, so thank you. Can have that.
Okay, if there aren't any other questions, we can move on to the Lopez Recreation Report.
Hello. Brian Wilder with the Lopez Recreation Report. I'm with Slo County Parks. As you know, we're gearing up towards summer, so visitation is increasing, as can be expected, although we were slightly lower in attendance for the past 2 months in March and April. We kind of attribute that to gas prices, probably a lot less people driving out to the lake, either for the day or for camping, especially those that live out of the area. So other than that, your guess is as good as ours. However, we are sold out for Memorial Day weekend, which is expected, so we're still expecting a very busy summer, which is typical for Lopez. We had about 35,000 visitors in March and April, and as I said, that was a little lower than last year. Some of the activities that have gone on in the past couple of months, we had 4 bass tournaments. We had a Pacific Islanders Motorcycle Club camp out. That sounds pretty benign, but it's not. They take over almost the whole park. It's been an annual event there. It's well attended and well enjoyed by all. Went pretty well this year. We've ironed out some kinks in the past with that particular group. So, some projects. The water tank replacement project is almost complete. We're operating off the new water tank. Environmental clearance was passed on the water quality inside the tank. They're currently deconstructing the temporary tanks that were up for use. So it was a project that was kind of under the gun for timing. We're starting to get busy. The temporary setup wasn't adequate to run the park. So Public Works did a great job managing the contractor and keeping things timely on that project. Our staff is preparing for summer. So that includes seasonal mowing, parking lot and road striping. Anything that you can name, like picnic table rehabilitation, fixing and replacing fire pits, that type of activity. We did replace about 5 sewer lateral line replacements in our busier campgrounds. We have quite a bit of root intrusion on our sewer system, which means a lot of snaking by our staff. So we're trying to mitigate those by replacing a few sewer laterals every year. Some of our bigger problems we're attacking first. So aquatic invasive species program, we have submitted for a QZ grant renewal. We should hear at the end of July whether or not we receive that extension. Very important to us. The extension would run through 2028 and would enable our partnership with Muscle Dogs to continue. Currently we're staffing through that grant an inspector 7 days per week, a canine team on site Fridays through Sundays. So we're really hoping that we get an extension on that grant. It's important to our inspection operation out there. We had about 1,899 vessels inspected from March through mid-May. 14 were rejected. Most of those had standing water, which is cause for rejection on entering the facility. Some coordination with Fish and Wildlife. This has been very active. So I know I spoke here before about bear issues. They've gotten worse, culminated with a 300-pound bear getting stuck inside a Prius with the door closed, which, as you can imagine, did not go well. This was a particularly problem bear that had already been radio collared. In the meantime, she had 2 cubs as well. So we were kind of in a situation where we needed something done. Fish and Wildlife was hesitant because of the cubs. It's not normally something they would do, is to trap and relocate a mom with cubs. It's also very difficult, as you can imagine, to get all of them together. However, they decided, because of the incident, that the threat to our visitors was severe, and they decided to try to trap, and within a week they trapped all of them. So it was a good story for us. Took them out of the facility. They're off to a undisclosed relocation somewhere in California. However, we do have other bears that are a problem. We're looking at potentially outfitting the entire park with bear boxes. As you can imagine, it's an expensive endeavor. We're going in front of the Board of Supervisors on June 2nd to see if we can get some funding to make that happen. It's kind of been a long time overdue for Lopez. We've had bear issues kind of ebb and flow in the past, but we feel like whether it's population or just bears being kind of raised around people, the problem has gotten much more severe over the past 5 years or so. So we're looking forward to hopefully getting some funding to implement some kind of overdue standards for our campers there. We had a total this year of about 5,000 pounds of rainbow trout planted at Lopez, and that was since January. Those will be on hold until next year, until the water temp decreases enough. Generally, that'll be around November. So we look forward to getting more of those. It's popular with fishermen. And that's about it for the recreation report, unless you have any questions.
Did the bear panic in the Prius? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
That's like a disaster.
So, yeah, it's a pretty interesting story. It was early in the morning, and one of our rangers that lives in a ranger residence drove by, saw a Prius that had very steamed up windows that was shaking violently, which obviously didn't look right. And as he got closer, he saw a big furry animal in there. Two of our rangers managed to get a ratchet strap around the door, pry it open to get it out. The Prius was absolutely destroyed. She ate the seats. She tore apart the dashboard. It looked like a bomb went off in the car. It was really incredible. I think that was unfortunate for the people, obviously, but it illustrated the fact that we don't have proper food storage for our campers, and so they keep it in their car. And this particular bear just really got used to being around people and understood that food was in cars and can smell it. And she was well over 300 pounds, so it was very easy for her to get into things. So, the good and the bad is it took something like this to happen, I think, for something to change, as usual. Yeah, and it wasn't a person, thankfully. So, yeah. Yeah.
Bears are concerned about gas prices, too, apparently.
He's taking it off his show on the road.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's
right. So, thank you for that. And so that budget item, you said June 2nd for the supervisors? Okay. Good to know. So we have some informational items, third quarter budget status report.
So at the end of the third quarter, looking at all categories, we're about 87% expended. That's for routine O&M, it's at 77%. Non-routine, it's at 201%. And that's where litigation costs are. For capital outlay, we're at about 75%. So a little bit over the 75% mark for third quarter.
With the litigation spent, is that trued up as of the writing of this report, or is there more litigation already posted, or do you know?
I believe this is the end of March, so there's probably more from April, May.
Okay, thanks.
Are there other questions about any of the non-routine? No. Okay. Okay, thank you. So we have one item today, an action item with no subsequent board or supervisor action required. And this is to declare surplus water. Courtney, would you like to run us through that?
Sure.
Thanks.
So the contract defines surplus water as the remaining portion of the annual safe yield of the project after distribution of entitlements described in paragraph B, downstream releases, water described in paragraph A, and including any undelivered entitlement put into storage on behalf of the agency and other agencies in that water year. So based on that calculation and as seen in the, there's a table in your packet, the district is declaring 0 acre feet of surplus water for water year 26-27. That is what we're asking your committee to receive and file. I do want to note that we are still looking at the releases from the preliminary injunction and how that should be accounted for the last water year. So we may have an updated table for you, but it doesn't affect the surplus water declaration.
Okay, I appreciate that. When I first saw this item on the agenda, I was giving pause to the notion of why are we declaring surplus water when we are saying we're releasing more than we want to, right? So I appreciate the explanation. Were there any other questions on the declaration? Okay, and do we need to take any vote on approval? I know we're not making recommendations to the supervisors.
Yes, we'd like a motion to declare surplus water a zero.
Okay, entertain that motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call, please.
She's like, where's the list?
Flip it over. Member at large?
Yes.
City of Rio Grande?
Yes.
City of Grover Beach?
Yes.
City of Pismo Beach?
Yes.
CSA 12?
Yes.
And agriculture?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Terrific. Okay, we have on the agenda, it looks like nothing under action items that require Board of Supervisor subsequently approving or a recommendation to the supervisors. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, great. So at that point, we can talk about any future agenda items that anyone would like to see. Okay, then moving right along, I think, unless...
the weather as we progress to winter and then the historical release data, those are the only two things that I can think of, but they've already been noted.
I was going to say nothing that hasn't been previously noted.
Sure.
Or requested.
Okay. Are we due for an update from... fire and how our reservoir level and current release.
As we head into this season, maybe it's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a good idea at least annually to get just a little report on, what the fire season looks like and are we looking good reservoir wise and what do the additional releases mean for fire protection? So we can consider that. Okay, great.
Yeah, we'll formulate a report back.
That sounds good. Okay. Then this is time for any committee member comments before we close.
I've got a couple comments. We, in terms of the litigation, sort of the elephant is still in the room, and I think I'm not going to get into the details of it, but just for information for the committee, maybe I'm a little bit closer to the day-to-day stuff, and I'll stay between the lines here in terms of discussing litigation, but I got a note that's public notices. I think most committee members know that there was a preliminary injunction that was then overturned by the Ninth Circuit. The plaintiffs refiled for preliminary injunction number 2, And there was supposed to be a hearing on that, I think yesterday, on the 20th. But the judge, my understanding is, said that she's not going to, doesn't need any oral. She has the briefs from each side, and so it's in her court to decide within probably the next 30 to 60 days her determination of the preliminary injunction. And what that does is if she agrees with the plaintiffs, then that would then kick in flow restrictions again. The idea is the preliminary injunction is needed to stop because it's such an egregious, but timely issue. And again, she did grant that a couple years ago now, or 18 months ago anyway, with the initial preliminary injunction. So just again, a little history maybe for the new committee members on that issue. And then likely outcome, if there's not preliminary injunction is not granted, if a settlement can't be reached, then it'll go to trial and grind its way through months and millions, sadly, but I mean, in terms of attorney fees and those types of things. So that's my understanding of the status.
Yes, the only thing I would want to double check and maybe bring back to your committee is, you know, it's kind of off calendar and whether or not there'll be a hearing or whether the judge will make a determination based on the briefings.
Oh, okay.
As it is uncertain.
Yeah, okay. I just got a note from our Avila Beach attorney, and who sits in with the attorney group, and he was saying that they did cancel at least the 20th.
Yeah,
off calendar. I think that's the word he used as well. So, yeah. Legal term of art, I guess, for them.
But I can double check that status.
Yeah.
Too.
And then the other thing, I just on behalf of everybody in the Zone 3 area, would just like to recognize and thank Shane for his 41. How many years? Too many. 38 and a half, that away, of you know, just service in the specifically city of Rio Grande, but also to the other districts. Shane helped me. What was it when we talked about water tank mixing projects? You know, and just his background experience is really been a service to the community. I still get complaints from Christy, though, who had to go to one of your water classes because she overused water in a Rio Grande one time. She says, "Oh, that guy Shane Taylor, huh? He's made us sit in the top conference room. It was hot. Told us about water savings." So anyway, appreciate it, Shane.
Yeah, definitely an institution. You're going to be missed again. Please don't go too far away. And I think the only other...
I was going to make...
Yeah, go ahead, Bart.
Is that right?
Please.
Well, I wanted to thank Shane because being on the Zone 3 TAC, he's just such a wealth of information, you know. And everybody that comes on, they're new... When Shane speaks, they listen. He's just like Jim Gehring, the same way. So it's just like this group with Brad. When he talks, we listen because he's the one who knows what he's talking about. So, but I would really like to recommend to the Zone 3 that we use Jim, and I'm hoping Shane will help him come up with just a small historical reference packet. I don't know what I made that up on the spot, so whatever you want to call it. But we need context. And when decisions are made or things come up, if you don't have historical reference, it's very difficult. I even asked 20-something years ago, could they give us a little packet that gave us all the acronyms, because this thing's full of them. And you have to go back and, you know, when I started on this board, it was before Google and ChatGPT. Now you can just pull it up and look at it if you're not lazy. But we need reference. And Jim I'm positive that he will be willing to help out. And I'm hoping Shane will too, because they're the two that have all the years. And if you don't have that reference, you sit there and you think, why would we do that? Or why did they do that years ago? Yeah. We don't know. Right. And they do.
For some reason, I thought Jim was still advising.
He is on TAC.
On TAC, okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He wants
to continue.
Good, good.
So, but not for much longer.
So Mr. Gehring is a new council member at the City of Prescott, Arizona.
He is.
Yeah. And I get a briefing almost as large as what you're talking about, Vard. After every TAC, I get an email. So he is keeping close eyes. But I think it would be a good time probably also to recognize the retirement of Greg Ray from the City of Grover Beach and his many years of service. And with him retiring comes the idea that potentially Jim's involvement on behalf of City of Grover Beach Utilities may come to an end. So I actually have to talk to Jim tomorrow, so I'll mention he said that, Vard. And so for the public watching, I've been notified that as a committee, we're not allowed to have any closed session meetings. So if it sounds like we're talking about injunctions and things like we don't talk about it in private because we don't and we can't. And so we appreciate your patience as we kind of work through delicate matters. And as always, appreciate everybody for attending and your participation in our public government. So with that, anybody else? Okay. We'll bring the meeting to a close. Thank you. Thank you.